We kind of grow in grace anyway and knowledge by line upon line and precept upon precept and getting a hold of the Word of God. We might what God done last Sunday, fellas, and now me with a haircut, it's untelling what God might want to do in here today. Praise God. I got a haircut on Friday and a baby was born that night. So maybe a baby will be born today. You catch that and after a while by slow drift. Amen. Amen. We got water back in the back again now. Brother Steve Ford back there hooked up our new hot water heater and we got water in the back. Maybe we get water in the front. Hey, you can always think of something spiritual to apply. You know, the Lord in His earthly ministry, and even a lot of the writers, you look in James' writings, they used earthly metaphors to bring to light spiritual truths. And if you look at things around you, you can come up with a lot of spiritual truths out of the metaphors or nature itself, you know. And a lot of the old writers did that. All right, back in the book of Psalms, fellas, Psalm number 42 again this morning. Pray for me. I've already lost one of the little nose pieces off my glasses. And I'm going to have to quit being so rough with them. I'll be glad the Lord gives me a new set of eyes and I can throw these up against the wall. Amen. And get rid of them. I've never gotten used to glasses. I know some men wear them and just get right used to them. But I have a hard time doing it, especially bifocals. Praise God, I want to look through the middle of them and everything's blurred. Then far off, close up, and otherwise. All right, Psalm number 42, and let's read the entire psalm, just 11 verses. And I don't think we read it last week. We kind of got carried away, and I don't believe we ever got into it. Amen? But we'll read it today. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise thee for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the hill of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? And again, David almost quotes verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now may the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee now for the privilege of being in God's house this morning. Thank You for Thy Word that You've given us, Lord, to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, to comfort our hearts, and Lord, to correct us when we're wrong. I thank You, Lord, for the men of God that are here today, Your children that have assembled in this place. I pray that You'll bless the Sunday school hour, meet the need of every heart. I pray You'll satisfy every soul, quench every thirsting heart today. And may Your name be honored and glorified in our midst. Bless us here in the Sunday school. Give us liberty to worship and to praise You and help us to learn from Thy Word how to live a life that is well-pleasing to God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, fellas, if you remember now, last week, I hope you kind of remember a little something that I said. It was so wild. I Don't know if I remember much what I said myself. But if you remember last week, I said that in the early verses, or the early part of the Scriptures in this psalm, David the poet finds himself under a sense of the absence of God. In other words, David said in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me." David had been driven from the city of Jerusalem. He had been conspired against by his own son Absalom and by his counselor Ahithophel. And David had been driven from the city. Now, it wouldn't really break a man's heart to be driven from a lot of cities, but Jerusalem was the center of worship. It was there that God had ordained a place to meet with man. And David, rather than missing his place of power, which he was a king, or his prestige that he had, or even missing his own palace that he lived in, David missed the presence of God. And that was the thing that broke his heart. He had been driven from the very presence of God. But in the latter verses, and that's what I want to deal with this week, David finds himself in deep depression of soul, and then he also finds there strong consolation from the hand of God. And fellas, I want to say this. I said it last week, and I don't know if it, you know, like I said, things were so wild. But I'll be honest, anytime a man drifts from the fellowship of God, it ought to trouble our heart. David found his fellowship in the temple. And because that fellowship had been interrupted and broken, David found his own soul in a state of deep depression. That ought to be That ought to be a depressing thing to you and I. If we find ourselves cold in spirit, somebody said, "Oh, I don't ever get that way." Quit your lying now. You know that we all get that way from time to time. But if we ever find ourselves cold in spirit and indifferent toward God, drifting from God, our prayer life's not what it ought to be, our worship's not what it ought to be, our Bible reading's not what it ought to be, our fellowship with those around us is not what it ought to be, it ought to be depressing enough to our soul that we, like David, could again turn to God and long after God as that heart longeth after the water brooks. Now, David in these last verses, and that's what I want to cover today, finds himself in a state of very deep depression. And by the way, this is the Christian life. Gentlemen, we are not always on the mountaintop. If you read there in verse 6, David said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizor." David said, "I'll remember the times when I was living on the mountain." And gentlemen, that is meat for the soul. You better can in your heart, or let's put it like this, you better store up in your heart what God gave us here last Sunday. God, gentlemen, did not have to do that. Neither did He have to pass by our way and bless us to that degree. And what David is saying here, I remember when I was on that mountain. I remember how it was when everything was running smooth. I remember how it was when my soul was in blessed communion with God and we walked together, being agreed in all things, and He blessed my heart, therefore my heart burning within me as it did those men on the road to Emmaus. You better store that up in your heart, because it's not always going to be that way. The Christian life is a life of mountaintop experiences. And as soon as we leave the mountain, we plummet right back to the valley. If you was to read in Matthew 17, gentlemen, you'd find where Jesus, in that chapter, took with Him Peter, James, and John, and was transfigured before their eyes. You know where it took place? On a mountaintop. That is where we catch the bright, glorious visions of our God. But when they came down from the mountain, our Lord found that His disciples that were there have no power whatsoever to cast a devilish spirit out of a young individual. And so I'm simply saying that once we're on the mountain as Peter, James, and John and see Jesus transfigured and see His glory and His power, then you need to be aware of the fact that the very next Sunday you may be in the valley. I still can see old Ricky laying back there on his back, and Jerry jumping up and down in the baptistry last Sunday. Brother Messick called yesterday, and I returned his call last night. I said, I'm just wondering how things is going. I said, man, last Sunday they're running well. I said, tears was a-running down the women. They was a-shouting. Men was a-shouting, running the aisles. And folks are smiling, laughing. I said, we was a-worshiping God. A couple of the men, I said, was back in the baptistry having themselves a spell. And I said, it was real good, Brother Junior. But hey, I'm not so naive, gentlemen, as to believe that tomorrow the devil cannot knock the props out from under us and we find ourselves plummeting from the mountaintop experience into the valley of despondency and despair. And that's exactly where David finds himself in Psalm 42. He was there as the king of the nation, prospering in the palace, worshiping in the temple, had things going well. I mean, son, and like today, had a couple of automobiles and money in the bank, and was everything was running well for him. He had no problems. Job was holding up. But David finds himself in the last verses, bankrupt, driven from the palace, and things are not running quite as smoothly as they were in the earlier verses, and therefore it plummeted David's soul into a place of spiritual depression. And you may find yourself there someday too. That's right. Today, gentlemen, we might be on Mount Hermon, and tomorrow we may be in Gethsemane. Today we may be on that mountaintop of wonderful experience, but tomorrow we may be in Gethsemane in despondency of soul, striving to get a hold of God and find our sweat as great drops of blood running down our face. I mean, our Lord was in great agony in Gethsemane. And I'm simply saying, gentlemen, that we may drift or we may move from a blessed experience on the mountain to agonizing in our soul in Gethsemane. It can happen that way, and you need to brace for it. I want to say this, fellas. Things are not always going to run smooth in America. I'm not a fatalist, but I'm telling you that the prosperity of our nation cannot continue in the state it's going in. We're going to have to level out somewhere. And as a rule, when things level out, they got to drop to the bottom before they ever get any better. Oh my, what a thought that give me. Christians sometime reach the level of their knowledge, gentlemen, and grow. And the only way for them to ever grow again is plummet to the very bottom. In order that they might be raised back up again by God. Amen. And so you need to brace for that. That's right. Stay with me now. Notice now in verses 1 through 4 and 6 through 10, David is in prayer. Basically, that's what these verses are. 1 through 4, David's a prayer. 6 through 10, David's also a prayer. And he's a speaking to the Lord. By the way, when we do pray, gentlemen, we do speak to God. And as we read the Bible, He speaks back to us. And I think that's our problem today. We're not listening to Him. Neither are we talking to Him. That's right. Now, I said that to say this. David is not looking outward. But in verse 5 and 11, I'm ahead of myself. Look at verse number 5 and verse number 11. David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? In verses 5 and 11, David is not looking outward. Neither is David looking upward. But, gentlemen, David is looking inward. And he's taking a look at himself. And I'm going to be honest with you. What is even worse than that? David is talking to himself. Now, just hang with me. Somebody said, Brother Hall, surely he's not. Hey, gentlemen, it's not too bad to talk to yourself, but when you get answering yourself, you're in bad shape. David is speaking to himself. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And here, David is not praying to God, but David is searching his own soul. David is here. The past is brought before him.
David's very feelings is brought before him. He examines his feelings and then looks at the blessings of God, and he must conclude with the statement in verses 5 and 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me?" Gentlemen, the point that I'm making is that in verse 5 and 11, that we find David's faith interrogating David's feelings. Oh, Brother Hall, gentlemen, it's not always how we feel. That's right. Our feelings should never dictate to you and I how we live for the glory of God. David looks at where he was with God, where he is presently with my God, and the picture is bleak and dark. But yet, he remembers how good it was with God, and he knows, he says, "Yet I shall praise my God." And therefore, David's faith overcomes David's feelings, and David has victory in his blessed life. Oh, listen, gentlemen. It is so easy to become depressed. And depression, by the way, is a state of feelings. We allow our emotions and our feelings to bottom out. I was sitting over here at the house on, Friday, I guess it was, and had to take my broadcast and was going through the mail and, just doing normal routine work. Well, I called my wife at the house, and she said, "Well, Cox called about the stair parts, and, you know, we had a problem with that, and all of them, I don't want to go into it this morning, but we've not paid them any money." And they called my wife, and the lady over there didn't know anything about the situation, got kind of irate with Mrs. Hall. Well, when I got over to the house, I noticed her kind of sitting there with her lip down, and I said, "Honey, are you having a bad day?" And she said, "I was doing good till that lady from Cox called." And she said, "I just went in. Listen, fellas, have you ever had the money grubs? Have you ever had a state of the money grubs? I'm talking about what my brother used to say, the blues. Have you ever had a bad day when it just seemed like everything was going fine and all at once one little thing occurred and it seemed like it triggered something in your soul and your heart? I fell out the bottom and you went from a joy and laughter to despondency and despair, and the smiles were gone and replaced with a frown upon your countenance." That's what David is saying when he said, "Oh my soul, why art thou disquieted within me?" He said, God is the help of my countenance. And David had allowed his emotions and his feelings to hit very rock bottom. But in verses 5 and 11, his faith begins to interrogate his feelings. And he said, "Hey, why am I cast down? God is still on the throne, gentlemen, and God is still in control of this thing, and I know that I'll yet praise Him, for He is the very health of my countenance." God is the health of our countenance. Son, I'll tell you, He is a medicine that will give you a joyful heart. No doubt about that. My Lord, he began to interrogate his feelings with his faith, and his despondency was turned into victory. Amen. Gentlemen, we can have victory in any situation. In any condition, we can have victory. Oh yes, although David was going barefoot on horseback or donkey and had his head covered, and was weeping as he went out of the city of Jerusalem, and his heart was broken, and he longed to have that fellowship with God again. He longed to be back with those 10 concubines he left. He longed to be back in his own home, in his own house, in his own bedroom and living room and kitchen with mama cooking, praise God. He longed to be there, but yet he did not allow the interruption of that life to destroy the victory that he had in God. I'm telling you, it's a paradox, but a Christian can be on rock bottom and at the same time be on top. Do you hear what I said? Son, you can be on rock bottom and still be on the top. Hallelujah to God. You know why? Because when I hit rock bottom, I'm still on the rock. And my victory is not based, gentlemen, upon my feelings. My victory is determined by what Christ done at Calvary and His ascension back to the right hand of God and the fact that He's alive and lives at the right hand of the Father and is there to make intercession for us today. In other words, as long as He's got a smile, we ought to be a smiling. As long as He's got victory, we've got victory. We may be on the bottom, but we're still on the top because we're on the rock.
Yes.
Billy, don't you let that thing get you down.
Yes.
Son, you just rest in Him. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
He ain't a sinking, praise God.
Yes.
No, sir. He is a rock that will float. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Somebody said, I ain't never seen a rock that'll float. If you go to heaven, you will someday.
Yes.
That's right. I can take you to the book of Kings and show you where some iron swam in the water.
Yes.
And if iron can swim, a rock can float.
Yes.
Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
When the bills of this life seem to overtake me, gentlemen, and the waves are higher than my head, I'm glad, thank God, He is a walking on the waves. That's right. Now, I'm really teaching this morning on the thought, faith interrogating our feeling. What's the strongest, gentlemen? Faith or feeling? You see, fear is a feeling. Those disciples, when they were out in the midst of the sea, and the waves began to rage and the wind began to blow, the Bible said that they were in fear of the waves overtaking them. But when Jesus came to them walking on the water, you know what He said? Oh, thou of little faith. Fear is a feeling, but faith can overcome fear in our life if we'll allow it to. Son, I'm telling you. Sometimes old Brother Hall has the same bouts with fear that you do. That's right. We're looking at $17,000 up here. $6,000 for heating in our units. You know, and I'm telling you, in a house over there I got to pay for. Thank God, I'm telling you, sometimes I get a little worried too. But thank God, He's still on the throne. Amen. And when the dollar is worth absolutely nothing, the gold in heaven, son, will never depreciate in its value, glory to God. I said the gold in heaven. I didn't say nothing about the gold on the earth, brethren. I said the gold in glory. It's glorious gold. What about that? It's glorious gold. That's right. Now, as all godly men, and gentlemen, all godly men will do, David interrogates his feelings by his faith that he might overcome his deep depression and walk in total victory. Now somebody said, Brother Hall, how'd he do that? Well, I want to give you some things here in the Scripture that I hope will help us. I want you to notice, first of all, look at verse number 6. Here is David, very despondent and depressed, gentlemen. And look at, I'm sorry, don't look at verse number 6. Oh yeah, verse number 6 is right. He said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Now your first step to recovery, gentlemen, from depression, everybody look right up here, is confession to that depression or concerning that depressed state that you're living in.
Amen.
Confess it to God.
Amen.
My Lord, you, hey, You're never going to have victory over your despondent soul until you learn to confess that condition before God and quit pretending, or we quit pretending like we are so macho and don't need the hand of God. We need to come to a place, gentlemen, where we realize that we are human, and humans live a lot by feeling, and if our feelings drop low, if we'll confess that thing to God, God will help us. Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked, because everything is that is not of faith is sin, and if we'll confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And gentlemen, living by feeling is a sin. That's right. If we'll confess that thing, hallelujah to God. That's right. Oh, my God. He said, my soul is cast down within me. And I'm going to tell you, when he went out of Jerusalem riding on that horse, he didn't look over at his soldiers with him or his family around him and tell them, well, everything's all right. How you doing today, brother? Well, I'll tell you what, it couldn't be better. Well, tell me about it. Well, my car's broke down. I got laid off yesterday. I'm down to one biscuit in the house. By the way, my mother-in-law's coming next week to spend the month with us. My children's all sick and in the bed. My wife's got pneumonia and I've got diarrhea, but I'm doing great. David said, oh, my soul. Oh, my God, he said, my soul is cast down within me. If you let me break this down into something we can understand, Paul, David said, Lord, I am not doing worth a flip. That's exactly right. Lord, I'm not doing too hot right now. And because of all this outward mess, and this inward depression, my soul, Lord, is cast down within me, and I need your help. I'm going to tell you, I got my soul lifted up pretty good yesterday. Me and Brother Wayne went down to that knife show, and we was in there, and today here come two men, a man I don't know, maybe my age, or when you say Brother Wayne, and another old gentleman. That old gentleman was walking, boy, and his steps were slow. He came walking up first to that table, and he started looking around at them pocket knives. He said, there's sure some fine pocket knives. I said, yes, sir. I hadn't sold too many either. And he said, guess how old I am? I said, I don't know. I said, my daddy's 87. I guess you're about the same age him. He said, he grinned a bit. He said, 96. I said, you're 96 years old? Oh, yes. And he looked up at me like that and he said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, sir. I said, I've been saved since September the 13th, 1970. And I said, ain't it wonderful to be saved? That old man looked at me and he said, I go to a Baptist church. And he said, I live for Jesus every day. Hallelujah to God. I said, oh, my soul, why that head dead within me? Well, and here's the and he just stood there and cried. But here's the blessed thing. He come back through a little bit later, and he stood back there again looking around. He looked at me, and he said, young man, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, sir. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, sir. I say September the 13th, 1970. He said, I'm a Christian. Said, my son-in-law here said, he's a Christian. Said, we sat right on the same pew in church every Sabbath. Said, ain't it glad, ain't it good to be a Christian? I said, oh, yes, oh, my soul is good. He kept looking at them pocket knives, and I looked up at him, and he started crying. He said, young man, I don't know if I've asked you this. He said, I asked a lot of people at these places and everywhere I go. And said, I asked some of them if they're Christians, and they can't answer the question. He said, I won't ask you a question. I don't know if I've asked you or not. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, Sam! September the 13th, 1970, I got saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. He said, do you live for Him every day? I said, every day I do my best. That's right, Steve. That was God sent a little manna down. Hallelujah to God. And I had to say, oh my soul, why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you in a rage? Why are you in a turmoil? Trust in your God. Hallelujah. Quit living by feeling and live by faith, for the just shall live by faith. That's right. And old David confessed that thing. He said, Lord, I said, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. And I'm in bad shape, Lord. But look here. He said, therefore. Now here's what that confession does. He said, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the hill of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. I will remember thee. I will remember thee. In other words, when David made that confession, it reminds him, or rather he remembers, number one, when David made that confession, he said, I'm cast down, it reminds him of what he is. By David saying, I'm cast down, he was reminding himself that he is weak, that he was troubled, that he was agitated, that he was anxious. Oh, yes. That's right. And gentlemen, we need to confess that thing to God when we get down like that. Amen. And it ought to remind us that we're weak. Somebody said, I believe Brother Ricky said in the office this morning, said, preacher, said, was Jesus all man? I said, He is all man. But He's all God. He's all man because He had an earthly mama, but He's all God because He had a heavenly Father. He said, well, He was tempted in all points like we are, yet He didn't sin. I said, yeah, but it was impossible for Him to sin. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not that way, gentlemen. Hear me now. I'm weak. Amen. And so are you. Amen. Amen to God. And it's easy for me to get agitated. And my anxieties to overtake me. And to worry and to pull my hair. But oh, why worry? Why? I'm telling you that God will take care of the spares. And friend, if God will take care of the spares, why not you and I worth more than many sparrows? I'm going to tell you, I learned this a long time ago and preached it at Joel Heights. And he came to me after service and said, you're going to have to show me that scripture. I said, the Bible said, Jesus said that not one sparrow will fall to the ground without His Heavenly Father. Amen. And I said, we think today that Scripture says that it'll not fall to the ground without God knowing about it. I said, no. It won't fall to the ground without my Heavenly Father. And I said, what that means is every time a sparrow dies, God's right there with it when it dies. Amen. And Jesus said, are ye not worth more than many sparrows? Hallelujah to God. If He clothe the grass of the field, gentlemen, and feed the sparrows that sow not, toil not, spin not, are you and I the crowning creation of Almighty God? Not worth more than many sparrows. I'm telling you, after God had created everything that was, He looked down upon all of His creation and He said, there's yet one thing that lacks. I'm going to create a man that he might walk with me and talk with me and fellowship with me and let me bless him and help him. And I'm telling you, God in His crowning creation brought Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam become a living soul. God crowned His creation by setting man on the earth and putting man into control of it all. And Adam lost that control and authority. 4,000 years later, come a man named Jesus, amen to God. First man, Adam, was a living soul, but the second Adam was a quickening spirit. And all that Adam lost, Jesus gave back. Amen. And gentlemen, He is in control. If you can get a hold of that, that He gave you and I the authority to be in control of it all. But we lost it by the fall. But Jesus gained it back. Therefore, He's in control of everything. Even David's situation. Oh, my soul. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. That songwriter said, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Oh, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Gentlemen, when I'm up on the mountaintop, He's revealing Himself to me. But when I get down in the valley of despondency and despair, rather than reveal Himself to me, He's walking beside of me. Hallelujah to God! Amen! I'm glad, thank God, gentlemen, for every despondent moment I've ever had, because I know that my Savior draws nigh to my soul at those times. Amen. That's right. His confession reminds him of what he was. And in his confession, he remembers his God. He said, I remember Thee. He said, Lord, I remember how it was back yonder. Hallelujah to God. Look here. He might let you go through some of them valleys to help you remember. Thank be unto God that day. I mean, like that old man. I said, sir, how long you been saved? Big tears rolled up in his eye. And he said, well, he said, I kind of lost count, but he said, it's been 70-some-odd years. I said, hallelujah to God. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother Jerry, he said, my wife died, and she's going to be, said, she's a Christian too. Said, she's going on to be a Jesus. Said, hey, said, I'm a-fixing to go on while she's at, glory to God. I'm telling you, thank God, brethren, that when He does this, that confession will remind us of our God who He is. That's right. Now look here. That confession of despondency. And then there was a conspiracy against David's peace. Notice what he said in verse number 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Thy waterspouts. Deep calleth unto deep, Lord, at thy waterspouts. In other words, David said, Lord, everything happening to me, it's your waterspouts. Deep calleth unto deep. Now, gentlemen, get this. Son, this is good. I'm telling you. Said deep, David said, deep calleth unto deep. Now there's that metaphor I was telling you about. Deep calleth unto deep. In other words, gentlemen, deep things answer deep things. Amen. Deep calleth unto deep, and deep things answer deep things. It's kind of like old Hurricane Mitch. You know what made old Hurricane Mitch what he was? That air turbulent up in the sky began to, that warm and that cold air began to mix, and the clouds begin to draw in, and that storm begin to move. And somebody said, well, what do you mean deep calls under deep? I'm glad you asked. That deep up there begin to call to the deep below. And God's nature begin to have fellowship one with another. And son, as the clouds and the wind raged and it drew the water out of the ocean and the waves began to roll, the waves of the ocean and the clouds and the wind of the sky began to fellowship with one another. Now I'm here to tell you it raised up one of the most atrocious storms that has ever landed on planet Earth. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what are you getting at? I'm glad you asked. Deep calleth unto deep. There was David's troubles on the outside. His son had turned against him. His counselor had counseled against him. David had troubles from without, but the deep from without called to the deep from within, and his troubles without coupled up with his afflictions on the inside. And David was in one of the greatest storms in his life. Now you need to get a hold of that. Son, when your little problems out yonder begins to yoke up
with depression in your heart. You know what it's good for? Double trouble. Well, I'm out of work. They laid me off, but praise God, I can handle it. And 3 weeks later, there ain't no paycheck come in. How you handling it? Deep's called unto deep. The troubles out there has brought troubles in here, and the conspiracy of them both has cost me my peace. I don't have peace. I don't have tranquility. I don't have any satisfaction of heart. Oh, my soul, I am cast down, and my soul is disquieted within me. But hope thou in God, brethren. There's where his faith began to interrogate his feeling. Old David said, it can't get bad enough. Glory to God that my faith in God cannot solve the problem. He solved your problem. And your problem. And your problem, and your problem, and your problem, and my problem, and everybody else's problem. There ain't none too great for God. That's right. And that conspiracy, the problems out there, and the afflicted soul in here, was like the noise of God's water spout. You ever been to Niagara Falls? Huh? It's all water, gentlemen. But as the water above clashes with the water beneath, it makes a terrible turbulent and a noise that is deafening to the ears of man. God's water spouts, deep calleth unto deep. I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll put you on some kind of little tugboat and take you right up there by them falls. Now, I've seen them something around them little boats just a-flopping and swinging and all that water coming down. Deep calleth unto deep, gentlemen. That's where we're living. In the midst of the storms, when deep calleth unto deep. And that conspiracy threatens to cost us our peace with God. Oh, brethren, rest assured. Yes. Jesus said, my peace I give unto thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled. Woo! And neither be afraid. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, I'm going down. Hallelujah to God. Just put your toes down a little deeper in the water. You find a rock just below. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, God has never deserted one of his youngins. God's never forsaken one. God's never turned on one. And God never will. Said, I'll never forsake thee. Thank be unto God. Somebody said, what do you want me to do, preacher? Hope thou in God. For God is the health of my countenance. Yeah. You know what some of you need this morning? You need a shot of God. Yeah. Yes, you're old. Just like Brother George went over to Doc Cole looking for a shot of penicillin. Some of y'all today need a shot of God. Amen. I got a feeling he got the shot in the rump, but I tell you, we need a shot in the heart. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That's right. Hope thou in God, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Troubles without, depression within, conspiracy against my peace. What shall I do, Lord? Hope thou in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. David's confession. Then the conspiracy against David's peace. But gentlemen, I see here also a cordial of love. Woo! My soul has been thrilled this day. Nay, gentlemen,
this hour. No, not even this hour, but in this very minute that I stand before you, my heart has been filled by the cordial of God's love. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what is a cordial? A cordial is anything, according to Webster, that revives the spirits. You need your spirit revived. Huh? We ain't done yet, gentlemen. We're going to preach some more after a while. Hallelujah to God. I feel like I'm about to get loose. Amen. A cordial. A cordial is anything that will cheer you. A cordial is anything that will give strength to and to comfort and bring glad tidings and exhilarates. A cordial, good news. Mr. Webster said, good news is a cordial. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, I've got some good news for you. And it's like a drink of water in a dry place. Hallelujah. It's like water in a dry place, son. I've got some good news to tell you. God's on the throne, friend. God still loves your heart. God is still in control. And God is able to turn your situation around and bless your heart and fill your longing soul with the graces of God. His cordial of love. Look here. Now I'm not done yet. Look in verse 7. Yet the Lord will ask, He'll just beg somebody to be good to me. For you? The Lord said, now, loving kindness. Yes, Lord, what is it? Now, loving kindness, listen to me. I've got a little job for you. But, Lord, you don't understand. I've been working on these poor old benighted mortals for 6,000 years. My loving kindness, I've been trying to show them how much I love them and how kind I am to them for these 6,000 years, and I'm kind of tired of fooling with them. And God said, yes, but said, oh, Billy Wicks down there said he had a tumor. And his soul's discouraged. His heart's troubled and broken. Loving kindness said, well, Lord, I'm tired. And God said, I command you. Get down there and help that troubled soul. I'm telling you, friend, God commands His divine attributes to our favor that He might bless our heart when our soul is cast down and we're disquieted within ourselves through afflictions within and troubles without. God will command His loving kindness. What a cordial of love. Son, what a cordial. That gentleman, God can't stand to see you hurt like that. God, His heart longs to help you and to love on you and to kiss you. Yes, sir. He can't stand it. Therefore, He just commands His loving kindness. What a cordial of love. God's good to me. He's better to me than 10,000. What a God. You know what Spurgeon said? Spurgeon said, if self were to furnish comfort, we should be but poor provenders. Brother, you cannot comfort yourself. You can't love yourself. You can't help yourself. You can't comfort and bless yourself. But oh, lift up your eyes to the hills, gentlemen, from whence cometh your help. And look to the Son of God that loved you and gave Himself for you. And let Him command His cordial of love and dispatch the loving kindness of His soul to planet earth that He might lift you up out of the depth of depravity and sin and encourage your heart to keep on persevering in the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, that you might run your course and finish it, my friend, with joy in your heart and victory in your soul. Lord, now it ain't me this week, it's you. Brother Hall's in the hole. Right. Now look here, he said he commanded his loving kindness. And in the daytime. Now he's good to us in the daytime, but what about tonight? Then he commands his song. His song, gentlemen.
What a cordial of love. His song I woke up last Saturday night all night long singing, my soul has found a hiding place.
Yes.
And I said, Lord, I got to get some sleep. My soul has found a... Lord, I'm not going to be able to preach tomorrow. My soul has found... And I'm telling you, when that alarm went off at 6 o'clock, it was, my soul has found a hiding place. And I said, boys, there won't be much preaching going on today. Come to church and preach for 2.5 hours. God commands His loving kindness in the daytime. And God commands His song in the night. Oh, thank God, gentlemen, in the night season when the clouds are overhead and we're despondent in spirit and afflicted from without, tidings and fears within, without. I'm glad, thank God, that Jesus can give us songs in the night to our soul. And then look here. And he said, in my prayer unto the God of my life. Now, if I understand that right, he not only commands his loving kindness and commands us all, but he commands us to pray. Some moron come in there in the room studio one night, was having a marathon, and we was praying and asking God to help us. And he said, Brother Hall, he said, do you ever command the angels to help you? I said, the angels? Command the angels? He said, do you ever command Jesus to help? I said, command? You going to tell me the buck private gives orders to the commander-in-chief? Nay, my brother, he's the one doing the commanding. And he looked down upon David and said, David, you're disquieted from within, you're troubled from without, and there's help in prayer if you just call on my name. And David, I'm not asking you to pray. I'm telling you, pray. Find help from God. His cordial of love. And then his care is understood. Listen carefully, and I'm closing. David said in verse 9, I was saying to God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. While they say unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God.
Amen.
Now I want everybody to look right up here at me. I want you to get this. David said there, he said, I say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Ladies, if you would sit down just very quietly while I finish this. Listen carefully. He said, why hast thou forgotten me? Gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. You ladies that's in here too now. How can a strong God who is as firm as abiding on a rock be also as hard and unmoved as a rock toward them that trust Him?
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that? He is a rock for us to abide on.
Amen.
But there can be times when God can be adamant and hard toward you and I.
Amen.
And I've got news for you. He will not budge an inch.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, are you preaching the... No. Look here. I'll close with this illustration. God is hard as a rock that we can stand on, but He can also be unmoved. And as hard as a rock and adamant that will not be moved even for us. And here's the reason. Because God knows what's best for us.
Amen.
And sometimes what's best for us in our eyes and our mind don't seem too good to us at all. But the final outcome is wonderful.
Amen.
Can I illustrate it to you like this? When I was preaching a revival meeting some years ago for Brother Joel Hyde. Joel said, Brother Hall, said, you remember old brother so-and-so? Said, he loved you. Said, he said, man, said, he'd get in there and root you on. I said, he said, my Sunday school. I said, I know who you're talking about. He said, I want you to go with me today. He said, he's in the hospital. And he's up in, was it Charlotte? Charlotte. Said, I want you to go with me to Charlotte. Said, we'll take Miss home. We'll eat lunch while we're up there. said, I want you to go. Said, he'd love to see you. Said, he loves your preaching. Every time you come here, said, he loves you. And the man does. I knew the man very well. He's dead now. But we got up there, and I said, we was talking to him, and I said, brother, forget his name now. I said, hey, man had diabetes. And his right leg had got infected, and gangrene set in it. And those doctors come in there and amputated his right leg. And I stood there with tears in my eyes, him laying in that bed, and I said, brother, so I said, I'm sorry that they had to amputate your right leg. And he said, oh, no. No, Brother Hall. He said, please don't be sorry they cut off my leg. He said, if the doctor hadn't cut off my leg, I'd have died. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's times when God acts adamant toward us. It's like cutting off a leg. We don't like it. It's difficult to endure. It's not what we consider a blessing. But the outcome is the fact that God is sparing our life for us.
Yes.
See, some of the hard things you go through and you can't understand and you wonder why, if God let you go on down the easy street of luxury and life that you're living in, you'd wind right back up out in the stinking worm, right back in your sin, back to the wildcat, back to the dope den, back to the beer hall, back to the slop chutes, back to the beaches. God, if he left you alone, what, you would go right back like a hog a-rooting in its own slopping mire. That's the only thing that keeps us going in truth, and sinners can't make it.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I do it all myself. You a fool.
Amen.
You are a double fool. You're dumber than a box of rocks and an idiot.
Amen.
You think you can do it on your own. God won't let you if you're saved.
Amen.
That's why you're looking at a preacher that believes in eternal salvation.
Amen.
You ain't going to lose it because God will see to it. Amen. You don't lose it. And I'm telling you, if it comes down to the point, you get so stinking cantankerous and out of sorts with God, and he has to cut off your arm or your leg to get a hold of you, buddy, to get you back on that straight and narrow way. He knows exactly. Somebody said, oh, that's cruel. I'm going to say this. Now, I love Brother Billy. But Brother Billy worked and worked and worked. He never got to church much. But I've noticed since he got out of the hospital, he ain't missed a service.
Amen.
Do you reckon God might have said, Brother Billy, I need to talk to you a minute, son.
Amen.
Lord, not my right leg. Yes, Billy. Like that little old lamb that keeps jumping the fence, Dad.
Amen.
And that good shepherd catches that little sheep and just breaks its leg. Now the little sheep can't jump the fence. Because it's man! I'm telling you, there's times that God will maim you and I to keep us walking in the straight and the narrow path.
Yes.
Somebody said, oh, but that ought to bother us. Oh, no, oh, my soul. Why art thou disquieted within me, and why art thou so cast down? Hope in God. For the same God that breaks the leg has got a good splint he can put on it. And bones grow back. But I'm going to tell you, when that bone grows back and you run up to that fence to jump over it. Fence? No, I don't think so today. You know why? Because if he jumps it this time, it may be this. Yes, that's our God. His loving kindness, hallelujah. In the daytime, his song in the night. Our prayer unto our God, he's good to us. Sure us. And look here, and David come to a place where he understood what God was doing in his life.
Amen.
And if you listen, some of you, you will understand what God is doing in your life and why you're walking through these little difficulties and problems.
Amen.
Now, I don't know why, and I don't claim to be a prophet. And I'm not trying to be a smart ass on clothing, but I want to say this. I told my wife this morning, I said, sweetheart, I said, I don't know why, but I felt in my heart all week that Chris and his family won't be in church on Sunday. Did I not tell you that? You better hear what I'm telling you, friend. Folks better get their act together. Because God done got His together and He knows how to get people's attention.
Yes.
Depression and affliction and the victory of God. I preached in here this morning, ladies, on feeling, faith, interrogating feelings.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, if you let your feelings, it'll ruin you. But if you listen to your
Amen.
Faith, it'll give you victory.
Amen.
Let's stand together.